so far we've gone through, just let me recap with you, we've gone through the connect phase. How do I plug my life in with God? We've made the connection to God and our basic doctrine. Well, who is God? What do we believe? Who do we believe God is? What is His name? You know, how many gods are there in the Godhead? We know that from teaching in this class and from studying in the Bible, there's only one God. We know that Jesus is that visible God. Amen. And we believe that you ought to be baptized in Jesus' name. We believe you ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. We believe you. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you ought not talk like you used to talk, and you ought not go where you used to go, and you ought not look like you used to look. There's some things about God that change us, and we believe, amen, through that connect and discovering phase of this Bible study lesson, this discipleship journey, that all those things interlock in our lives, and they help create us into a spiritual being. Amen. So my question is, starting into verse 3 or chapter 3, which is the engaged portion, what do we do with what we've learned? How do we utilize it? Where do we plug in to be effective? Okay. So in this lesson 1 of the engaged chapter, we're going to talk about an introduction to ministry. Amen. The most important thing you can do with what you've learned is to turn it around and send it back out. Amen. Does you no good to have all of the scriptural knowledge in the world if all you ever do is sit in it like a cistern? Anybody ever know what a cistern is? A cistern is a giant well pot that they used to bury under the ground in places that don't get a lot of rain. Well, that's all well and good, but every once in a while, that's got to be stirred up with some freshness. Because if not, even the good water turns stagnant. And that's what's good about our doctrine is you have to have a flow. You have to receive, and you have to be able to push back out. It's no different than a lake or a river. I mean, that's why a lake is not a swamp. Amen. It's got life in it. It's not all covered in scum because there's water coming into a lake and there's water going out of a lake. If you just take water in, you become a Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has no outlet. You just collect all of what the world throws at you, but you don't ever put anything out. You turn to deadness, and nobody wants to be a dead Christian. Amen. So you've got to learn how to turn loose of what you know. And that's why we come in here on Sunday and we praise and we worship and we shout. We get the strength to go out and to minister. Amen. We're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is what we refer to as the fivefold ministry. Okay? So you were made, answer number 1 that you're looking for, the first blank is you were made for ministry. You were made for ministry. Okay, so one of the most important parts of this chapter, this scripture we just read in Ephesians 4, is that there are 5 different apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're separate. Now, they're all part of the hand. I mean, we are all ministers, but there's something separate, a gift and a calling, amen, that's separate from me than from Brother Ignacio. Same as for me to Brother Terry, and so on. We each have our own distinct callings. I'm not much of a teacher. I can do this, but I can promise you I'm not comfortable. I'd rather get the material and lay it out and preach. I would much rather be excitable and exhort and rip and snort and swing off the chandeliers. Praise God. That's how I prefer to do it. Now, Terry, maybe he's more of a teacher. Maybe Ignacio spends enough time in prayer that he's a prophet. Man, maybe one of you might be in here, might feel a call to go start a church someplace from absolutely nothing. Maybe you're an apostle. Maybe some of you feel the call to shepherd a church someplace. Maybe you're a pastor. I'm not a pastor. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of the things I learned in working for the city is there's a lot of different facets of the city. One of those facets is wastewater. I don't work for wastewater. I'm not interested in working for wastewater. Because it doesn't matter how long that mess has been down there. Mess is still mess. And mess has a tendency to smell bad. And I like going home smelling like Old Spice deodorant. That's how I prefer to do that. I don't want to go home smelling like mess. So your ministry is determined by your makeup. Second blank is makeup. Amen. I'm not equipped to be a pastor. I don't feel equipped. I'd much rather tell you, get right or get left. I don't want to help go through problems sometimes. Amen. I'm not equipped, amen, with the couth and the suave and the kindness that Pastor Cox is. I'm not. Just get right or get left. I'd much rather be frank and be straight with you. But that's the difference in my makeup. Amen. And I don't have maybe the people skills to be a pastor. And I'm okay with that. I'm good with my skill set. Don't try and teach me how to be nice. My wife gets irritated at me often because I'm the kind of guy that I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell you what's on my mind. And she says, well, you shouldn't be like that with people. What, you want me to not tell them the truth? No, tell them the truth. Just don't tell them like that. Oh, amen. I'm not filtered very well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bullet point number 3, what God made me to be determines what He intends for me to do. I will understand the purpose I was created for when I understand the kind of person that I am. This is the secret to knowing God's will for my life and feeling fulfilled in my relationship with Him. Amen. You cannot plug a round peg into a square hole unless it's not big enough for the job. You cannot plug a round peg into a square hole unless it's not big enough to fulfill the job. Do what you do. Be who God made you to be. Anybody ever taken one of those Myers-Briggs personality tests? You ever taken one, Iggy? What were you?
Bad.
Mine too. The last one, I think the first one I took, I was about 16 years old. I was 92%. 92%. You're supposed to be a mixture of two personalities. I was 92% sanguine, 8% choleric. That's bad. That's really, really bad. Amen. But if you ever get a chance, I highly, highly suggest you look up a Myers-Briggs test and take it. Finding out about your personality will help you learn your own shortcomings, your own the way that you do things without realizing that's the way you do it. It's very insightful into your personality type. What makes you tick? What makes you make the decisions you make? But that's also important for ministry. Knowing how you do things and why you do things is extremely important. I mean, to know, amen, I know good and well that I'm not wired to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm not wired. I love Sister Yvonne and her passion for what she does. Praise God. May you continue in it for the rest of your life so that I must not need to fill a gap. Because I can't do it. I'm not wired that way. And understanding that makes me more effective. Amen. It also keeps me out of jail. Praise the Lord. So God is consistent in His plan for each of our lives. He would not give us inborn talents and temperaments, spiritual gifts, and all sorts of life experiences, and then not expect us to use them. He would not give us those things and not ask us to use them. By reviewing and studying these factors, we can discover with the ministry that God has for us, the unique way that God intends for us to serve Him. Amen. What a powerful thought. We each have a unique plan for our lives. My plan doesn't look like Brother Merchant's plan. Brother Merchant's plan doesn't look like Buddy's plan. Buddy's plan doesn't look like Sister Joyce's plan. Sister Joyce's plan doesn't look like Joni's plan. And that's okay. We've all been through struggles. I can minister to people, amen, that maybe some of y'all cannot minister to. Same way as you can minister to people that I've never been a drug addict. I've never been an alcoholic sitting on a bar stool. I don't know what it's like to look down the end of a barrel and have a suicidal thought. I don't know what that's like. Amen. That's why God requires, amen, for His church makeup to affect every creed and every nation, every tongue, every lifestyle, from the doctor, amen, to the derelict that lives in the gutter. I mean, God's church is designed to encompass all of humanity. His blood is the same for every creature. Amen. So your unique way that God intends for you to serve Him is determined by maybe what you've been through and the temperament which God has placed in your personality. There are two results of discovering the ministry I've been shaped for. Number one is fulfillment. The first result is fulfillment. The second result is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Can anybody off the top of your head remember the story of Jesus who was passing through, finding a fig tree with no figs? Do you know what happened to that fig tree? He cursed it and it shriveled up and died. Fruitfulness and fulfillment of a plan in your life is a requirement in living for God successfully. Amen. Fruitfulness is a requirement. The very first thing He says to Adam and Eve, go you into all the earth, multiply. Go and be blessed and multiply. Fruitfulness is a requirement, amen, of feeling fulfilled in your life. Amen. We will focus on five personal factors that have combined to shape the real you. By identifying the specific traits that you possess, each of these areas, the ministry God has designed for you will become crystal clear. I mean, you also learn about Community Life Center's strategy for ministry, current opportunities for service, and what you can do to become involved in your local church. Man, how many are not involved in just anything other than just coming to church on Wednesday and Sundays? Anybody? Praise the Lord, come see me. I got something for you to do. Hallelujah. I mean, you ever ran a camera before? Amen. There's plenty to do around the house of God. Amen. The goal of this class, amen, that I will discover my unique design or shape, S-H-A-P, for ministry, and commit to developing and using my God-given gifts and abilities in serving God through and others through my church family. Commit to developing and using my God-given gifts. There are two types of ministry. One is primary ministry. My primary ministry, a ministry that I am gifted to do and spend maximum time in as a result. My primary ministry is the ministry that I'm gifted to do and spend maximum time in as a result. Amen. Start asking yourself, and then I'm going to ask a series of questions. These are all rhetorical, okay? Just think about it. Maybe make a cliff note in the side margin. What is it that I spend most of my time doing for God? What is it that I spend most of my time doing for God? What do I wish I did, but I don't? What do I wish that I did for God that I don't do? How do I set a goal and achieve the goal of being involved in God's kingdom? How do I set and achieve the goal of being involved in God's kingdom? A couple of quick questions. These are not in your notes. These are things that I was just thinking of. When you begin to think of ministry, how do you plug in to what's going on at Community Life Center? My secondary ministry is a ministry that I am not gifted to do, but I help because I have a servant's heart. I'm not gifted to do, but I help because I have a servant's heart. That's a good question. Amen. The philosophy of ministry. our philosophy of ministry, the objective of the pastoral staff here is to mobilize and equip an army of ministers who are maximizing their unique gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences in a meaningful place of service throughout our church. We have got to be effective. Have you ever driven a car that didn't hit on all cylinders? I mean, my first car was a 1980 Oldsmobile Delta 88. Big, giant boat. It was big green thing. We called it the Booger. I mean, I could fit about 8 of my friends in that thing. It was huge. Now, every once in a while, it had a bad plug wire. And I was just a young, broke kid. And it would rain outside. And when it would rain, that plug wire would get wet. And that car would stutter. And man, it just felt like somebody was on the outside of it with a jackhammer on the bumper. Because it was missing on all, it wasn't hitting on all cylinders. It was ineffective. It was hard on fuel. It made the ride unpleasant. Man, it made the journey slower to get to my desired place I wanted to go. And that's what happens when the church isn't hitting on all cylinders. We slow down. We require more fuel. It wears us out. Man, anybody ever been so busy you feel like you're so burned out, you know, you just need a vacation? Amen. Brother Brett's like, praise God. That's preaching down my plank tonight. Amen. That's what goes on when the church isn't hitting on all cylinders, because we need you. We have highly talented and highly effective people sitting in our pews. Amen. That all you need is that spark, amen, to walk into a ministry and be effective for the kingdom of God. Every member deserves personal assistance in discovering a meaningful place of ministry. We value the individual more than the ministry, and I'd have to say that's very true. We have to value the individual as more meaningful than the ministry. The job you perform is great. Amen. There are those jobs. We need somebody to scrub a toilet, somebody to clean the drinking fountain, and somebody to vacuum the floors. We need somebody to drive a bus. We need somebody to help on block parties, set up the jumpies. We need somebody to make popcorn. We need somebody to run the wire. Amen. To get our streaming system downstairs. We need somebody to run the camera. Amen. To keep our services on live stream so we're maximizing our reach. We need somebody to play music. We need a drummer. Amen. We need a piano player. We need singers, because praise God, you do not want me to sing. Amen. Just do not. No, really, you really don't want me to do that. Man, but the individuals are more valuable. Even though all of those ministries are incredibly important, we need praise singers, we need piano players. But more than that, I need a Sister Dove. And more than that, I need a Sister Ruth. And I need a Robbie. And I need a Judy and Roberts. I need an Eliza. I need a Grace. Community Life Center needs each of you. There are so many roles to fulfill, but don't forget that the absolute essence of why you're here is to be a worshiper. Amen. Those involved in ministry are entitled to competent leadership from the staff. Amen. You deserve the best of those put over you. You deserve the best Sunday school superintendent that we've ever had. If you're a musician, you deserve to have the best praise and worship pastor we've ever experienced. That's why I think it's so excellent to walk into pastor's office and just, sometimes I just get lost looking at all of the plaques on his wall of all of his achievements. Amen. That's how you know you got somebody worth following. Amen. And I know that he's told the story from Brother T.F. Tenney about when you're in leadership, every once in a while you need to look around. If there's nobody following you, you're just a guy on a walk. You're not leading anybody. It's a very true story. Amen. And I'm glad to have the pastor we have in this church. Amen. I'm thankful for his leadership. Amen. So what is ministry? What is the actual definition of ministry? It means to serve. To serve. The Greek word in there is diakonos. To serve. Man, I love hearing the story of the alabaster box and how Mary broke it and anointed the feet of Jesus and then washed it, washed his feet with her tears and dried it with his hair. That's real ministry. Pulpit ministry is, it's great for about 15 or 20 minutes until you're out of air. Man, but after that, you've got to have something to show for it. And you better have entertained the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You better have ministered to God first before we minister to each other. Man, ministry is using whatever God has given to you to serve Him and the needs of others. That's what ministry is, real ministry. Man, we minister in three directions, number two. Number one, to serve the Lord. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Man, our first direction to minister is to the Lord. Number two, our second direction to minister is to other believers. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So your second direction is to serve other believers. The most important outside of the Lord is to serve unbelievers. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. It's our design for us to make the world see that they need God. To make them feel, amen, what the refreshing presence of God feels like. Man, it's our direction to minister to unbelievers. Amen. Bullet point number three, we minister to three areas of also needs. Number one is to people's physical needs. Matthew 25, verse 35 says, God says, I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me drink. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. Whenever you have done this to the least person, you did it to me. Amen. They ministered to his physical needs. Matthew 10, 42 says, if, as my representative, you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will surely be rewarded. Amen. God asks you to meet the physical needs. Number two, we are to meet people's emotional needs. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with all. Some people in this world have been shattered and broken by the situations around them, and they need our help emotionally. Our ultimate goal is to help people reach or help reach people's spiritual needs. Spiritual needs. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God reconciled unto himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Colossians 1 and 28 and 29 says, we proclaim Christ, counseling and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We got to meet their spiritual needs. Amen. It's important to feed them when they're hungry. It's important to love them when they're broken. But it's important to get them to heaven.
We're going to talk about nine reasons why ministry is non-negotiable. The thing is that we think, and the thing is, you can think of it positively or you can think of it negatively. You can either be negative or positive. In a relationship, you want exclusivity. You can see, well, that's a bad thing. No, it's not. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. In life, you can either you can be wandering over, or you can have direction. You know, I was watching, I was reading a Charlie Brown comics, and in the comic, Charlie Brown was threw a ball, and then he's like, "Yes!" And he's like, "Why are you excited?" "It's because I met my goal." What was your goal? To throw the ball and it hit the ground. That was my goal. Is that it hit the ground. And the thing is that we can either fulfill our goals and have a direction and have a purpose, or we could, throw it across the diamond and got the person out. It's all in how you look at it and how you see it. Non-negotiable could be negative or a positive, but it's entirely up to you. And number one, I've been created for ministry. I don't know about you, but when I came into church, I was struggling to find out where I fit. I didn't know what my talents were. I didn't know what I could do. Hence, I do a lot of things. And you know, if you look at my calendar and you look at what I'm doing, I do a lot of things. I'm involved in a lot of things. And in doing so is because I didn't know where I fit. Didn't know what my tendency was. And yes, I've done one of those Myers-Briggs things and test. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. So maybe that's why I do a lot of things, because I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way. But I was created for ministry. And in doing so, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be involved in everything. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." He prepared in advance. Prepared in advance. He created me for a reason and a purpose. I came across this little cartoon that says, "God don't make junk." God don't make junk. And from where I came from, that's how it felt like most days. Junk. So when I came to church, my whole thinking had to change. The way I thought, the way I acted, what I found funny, what I found entertaining, what I filled my mind with, what I read, had to change. Had to change. Because God created me for a purpose and a reason. He did. There is two great days in everyone's life. The first one is when you're born. And we celebrate that every year. Now the second best day is the day you find out why. Why you were born. Why you were created. When you can flow and do what you are able to do. When you feel, "I was made for this. This is what God made me for." That's the second greatest day of your life. Where you can do what only you can do and nobody else. I've learned to juggle a lot of things. I've learned to do Sunday school, to do promotions, to go cook stuff, to go promote the church, to do Facebook, to do Instagram, to do Tumblr, to do Twitter. All these other things. I've learned to do those things. Why? Because that's where I flow. That's where I can promote the church. Tell somebody about Jesus. The question was asked, if you could tell everyone one thing, what would that be? If you could tell the whole world one thing, what would that be? My answer, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You don't have to sin. And Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You don't have to sin. And that's where I flow. That's what I was created to do, to minister. To minister to people that have gone through what I've gone through. My hurts, my, forgive me, hell. Where I can share that, how I made it through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what I was created to do. That's what you were created to do. Number two, I've been saved for ministry. Saved for ministry. We each have a purpose. We were saved for a reason and a purpose. It's to save others that have gone or going through the same thing that we went through. We are survivors. We are survivors. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, chapter 1 verse 9. It is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserve it, but because that was His plan all along before the world began. That was His plan. You are the solution to somebody else's problem. You hold the answer to somebody else's chaos. You have the key to their future. And it's that which saved you. That which sustains you. That which keeps you. Number three, I've been called into ministry. And we think, when we think of callings, we think of all these great things. This light coming down and shining on you. And Josiah, I want you to come towards the light. I want you to preach this gospel. And we're expecting this Damascus Road experience. And it almost never happens. Almost never happens. Some people it does. But most people don't. It's this small voice. And you're doing, you're working. This is what I want you to do. You're doing why I brought you here. Why I saved you. When you're doing what you love to do and feel fulfilled, feel complete, when you're doing that, you're doing what God created you to do, what He has called you to do. Is it always comfortable? No. Sophomore in high school was asked to make a presentation. I passed with a D-. Josiah, don't listen. I passed with a D-. Because I was doing a presentation. And wasn't it funny that God called me to minister? I thought it was a joke. I thought, God, you got to be kidding me. I can't get in front of people. That's why I'm more comfortable back there doing the work. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And I still get nervous. Do I have anything that people want to hear? And the thing is that God called me. It's non-negotiable. I might not like it, but I do it because it's non-negotiable. He called me. In Galatians 1:15 says, God in His grace chose me even before I was born, called me to serve Him. He had a plan for me. He had a plan for you. He called you. And when we think of callings, we think of preachers, pastors, evangelists, ministers. God also calls greeters, Sunday school teachers. Calls people to bake, to cook, to contribute, to show up. To show up. To be a part, to support, to worship. He calls for those things too. I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling that you have received. Ephesians 4 and 1. Number 4 says, I've been gifted for ministry. Gifted for ministry. There's things that only you can do. There's things that only you can do. Sister Joni, there's only things that you can do that I can't. Or that Brother Terry can't. Denitza, there's things that only you can do. And nobody else. Because how awkward would it be for me to show up to the YMCA for aerobics to talk to old ladies, invite them to church? It'd be a little awkward. Or to talk to your friends and say, hey, you want to come to church? And I have zero weight with them. I have zero credibility. But you've established that relationship. You've grown that relationship. You can reach them. And only you can reach them. You're gifted for that reason and that purpose. 1 Peter 4 and 10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. Many kinds of blessings. Anybody remember the story of the talents? There's three guys that were given all talents, skills and abilities. I've heard this in multiple ways, but a talent was 1 year's wage in biblical time. 1 year's wage. If somebody gave you 1 year's wage or multiple years' wage, somebody gave 5, somebody gave 10, somebody gave 1. And I've heard it in coins, I've heard it in bags, but the best way that I saw it was in a whole year. If somebody gave you several thousands of dollars, what would you do with it? How would you make it grow? How would you develop it? What would you do with what God has given you? What would you do? Something for you to think about. The talent that you have is yours for a reason and a purpose. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Number 5, I am commissioned to minister. In Matthew 28, 18 and 19, it says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. I had a conversation with a person. Kept saying, I don't have the authority to do that. I don't have the authority to do that. A lot of times we feel that we're not preachers. Therefore, we don't have the authority to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm not the pastor. I'm not a minister. My question is, are you not a child of God? Has Jesus not filled you with the Holy Ghost? Has He not forgiven your sins? Has He not changed your life? We are commissioned. It's not the great suggestion. It's not the great idea. It's not the great recommendation. But it's the great commission. Go into all nations, everywhere. Warsaw is part of those nations. surrounding areas, Leesburg, Milford, Pearson, Mento. It's part of all nations. We are all commissioned. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You represent the kingdom of God. When they see you, they see Jesus. For we were made in the image of God. You are an ambassador of Jesus and his kingdom. Never forget that. Never forget that. If you can wrap your head around that, you represent Jesus. You might be the only Jesus people will ever see. You might be the only Jesus. The argument has been made. It says Jesus will come when the whole world has heard of his name. And he will come. And you're like, how is Jesus going to get to this, there, or another place? We send missionaries and they go. But who's going to go to your workplace if not you? Who's going to go to your neighborhood if not you? If not you. We are commissioned and given the authority from Jesus to witness of his kingdom, of his love. Number six, I'm to be prepared for ministry. Prepared for ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12 says, God gave pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing the discipleship journey. You can grab every packet that we have given you and use it. Apply it. Exercise it. I can make more copies if you want more. And we are here. The ministry is here to help you. To help you. When I worked at McDonald's, I was trained on how to make a Big Mac. I was trained. I was shown how. I had to toast the buns. I had to put two pieces of meat, put some mac sauce, two or three pickles, one slice of lettuce, and stack it all up. Trained on how to make a Big Mac. Trained on how to make a cheeseburger. Trained on how to do all those things. So after time with confidence, they'd call it back and I'd make it with all the confidence in the world that that's what belonged on it. Now let me ask you, how many times have you heard what it takes to be ready to make it to heaven? In whose name do we need to be baptized? How do we need to be baptized? How many gods is there? How do you know you have the Holy Ghost? With the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some of us were raised in this. Some of us have been in this for a while. Some of us just come in. But every one of us knows what it takes to make it to heaven. And did you know that's all you need? That's all the tools you need. But if you want to be more effective, you can study the Word. If you want to be more assured and secure in delivering the message, you can study the Word of God more. And that's what we're doing. We're training. We're equipping. And if you don't feel comfortable holding a Bible study, Brother Terry, myself, Justin, and anybody on the ministry team will help you reach your friends for Jesus. That's what we're here for. We are here to help you be the best you can be. That's why we're here. Number 7, the body of Christ needs my ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Every single one of us is vital. Every single one of us is important. If you ever stub your toe, you know the rest of the body is affected. If you ever hit your thumb with a hammer, your whole body is affected. If you ever jab your eye, whole body is affected. If you hit your head, your whole body is affected. But the thing is that you might overlook some things in your life. What you find interesting, others find interesting. And you can make a ministry out of that. Everything and anything could turn into a ministry. Getting together and cooking, breaking bread, sharing Jesus. Get together, build cards, share Jesus. Share recipes, share Jesus. Have a Young Living party and share Jesus. Have a Tupperware party and share Jesus. Have any kind of get-together, doesn't matter what it is, gives you an opportunity to share Jesus. Every single thing. Number 8, I am accountable for my ministry. I am accountable for my ministry. As I have already said in Matthew 25 and 14 to 30, these men that received these talents were held accountable for the talents that the owner gave them. And if you wait till the end's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh. And I have a cartoon, and I'm not going to show it this evening. But in this video, you can see where at the end, the one that had the one talent, they grabbed it and buried it and brought it back. Knowing that the ruler was just, knowing that the ruler was ruthless, knowing all those things, he still made the intentional decision to bury his talent. And the thing is that God gives us talents, skills, abilities to use for the kingdom of God. And if you are like I was when I came into church, I didn't know what my talent was. Come and see us. Come and see me. Call me up. He says, how can I develop my talent? Develop my skill? Because I'm here to help you. If you want to be involved, we can find a place for you. Because there is a place for you here. There is. There is. There is a place. Barry came up to me. He's like, I don't know what I can do, but I want to help. And he was as happy as clams helping with hot dogs. He was excited that he helped Brother Damien with the hot dogs to give to the kids. Excited. I don't know what I can do, but whatever I can do, I will do. I will do. And that's the willingness. It blew my mind when I saw Cindy Collison. What can I do? I'm like, just talk to people, tell them you're glad they're here. She lit up like a Christmas tree, like a little kid on Christmas. Because she got to tell people she was excited that they came to the block party. Can you do that? And she did that. That's where I felt flowing. That's what I was created. To properly position people. To be most effective. Because when I came into church, I was lost. I didn't know what to do. But I felt fulfilled by helping her feel fulfilled. So there's no big task, small task. There isn't. And this is what it's all about. It's reaching people. Reaching people. Meeting that need. Doing what only you can do. And we are accountable for our gifts and our talents. Number 9, last one. I will be rewarded for my ministry. I will be rewarded for my ministry. Anybody go to work for free? Mm-mm. Your ministry has a reward. Yes, you do it because you love God, but there's a reward in it for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not man, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Everything you do it unto the Lord. You do it unto the Lord. You do your very best. Your very best. Well, nobody's going to see it. God sees it. God sees it. There's a portion of scripture where it talks about this mason, this stone worker, spent so much time on the lily work on the top side of the entryway of the temple of Solomon. Nobody was going to see it. Nobody was going to see it. And he spent crazy time on the lily work on top. Why would he? Because from the top, God has a perfect view of it. God has a perfect view of it. Can I tell you, when you're working for the Lord, does it matter if it's filling eggs full of candy? Or early in the morning, watering the flowers? God sees it. God sees it. When you're here all by yourself and you're working for the kingdom of God, God sees it. Because those famous words that we've heard for years in Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Your master's happiness. When it's all said and done, why I run like a chicken with my head cut off 365 days a year is because one day I want to be before Jesus and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why. That's why. Those are non-negotiable. Why we need to be in ministry. Brother Terry's going to come and share the rest of it.
One of the things I haven't heard tonight and is a verse that I learned a while ago when I was struggling with my calling in God. Okay? When I was doubting myself, when I was searching out for my ministry, somebody shared this with me, and I want to share it with you tonight. And turn with me there. It's to the book of John, St. John, and it's chapter 15, and it's verse 16. It simply says, you have not chosen me. This is Jesus speaking. You have not chosen me, but rather I have chosen you, and I love this part, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And I want to focus on just on that first bit, just real quickly. And I want you to, how about do this with me? Grab a hold of your Bible, because this is the Word of God. This is truth. This is non-negotiable. right? It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every promise in here is to you and I, and it's yea and amen. Amen? So I want you to hold on to your Bible. I want you to hold on to the Word of God. And I want you to say, God, you have called me. God, you have chosen me out of this world. And you have ordained me. Now I want you to think about that. You have ordained me means to be equipped. Okay? So there is no reason in His world on earth that you don't have a ministry within the church or outside of the church. Because what? If He has called you out of the world and into His glorious light, guess what? He has ordained you. He has equipped you. He has qualified you. He has made you worthy, right? That you should go forth and bring fruit. Okay? It's that simple. Whatever God has called you into, He has equipped you. That you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Amen? It's just that simple. God has called you for a purpose, and He has equipped you in some way, shape, or form to do something within the body of Christ. Amen? Some of us need to get on it. I'm just not trying to be mean, but some of us need to get on it. Amen? All right, continuing on the discipleship journey. Page 7, Discovering My Unique Shape. And S-H-A-P-E is all capitalized and periods in between there. It's an acronym, and we're going to go through what that acronym means. And tonight, the very first verse that comes on there is, Your hands form me and shape me. That was from Job 10, 8. But I like what Psalm 119 and verse 73 says. It almost says the exact same thing, but listen to what Psalm says. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Okay? Lord, give me understanding that I may learn Your commandments. Okay? Psalm 139, 14 through 16 says this, Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. You were there when... Or that you were there while I was being formed. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Think about that. God saw you for who you were in your mother's womb. And He knew every aspect about you and I. Every toe, every finger, every eyelash, everything about you before you were ever born. And the Word says, and he scheduled each day of my life. Amen? God knows your beginning and God knows your end. Amen? There's nothing about you that God doesn't know about you. What you're capable of, what your talents are, because He gave you those talents. So look at there. It says, God has been molding and shaping you for ministry. He's been shaping you for service since you were born. In fact, God started uniquely shaping you even before you were born. So shape, S-H-A-P-E. The S stands for spiritual gifts. And this is where we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. And I'm going to read it from the King James 4 through 7. He says, Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works in all of us. Works in you, works in me. But the manifestation, all right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And look at it. The Spirit's presence, this is going back to the handout, the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each one of us for the good of us all. That's what it says. God didn't give you the Spirit just to have the Holy Ghost. He gave it that you and I might work for the benefit of the church, of the members, and for the unchurched or the unsaved. So you may be asking the question, well, what am I gifted to do? Well, look at verses 8 through 10. If you're still there in Corinthians, he gives some things that you might be gifted to do. He says, you might have the word of wisdom. You might have a word of knowledge. You might have faith. And I'm not just talking because God gave each person a measure of faith. So this is extraordinary faith, to believe beyond what God has already given you. This is extraordinary faith. You may have the gifts of healing. You may have the gifts of prophecy. And what I'm talking about there is visions. Okay? Discerning of spirits in diverse tongues. And look in verse 11, it says, but all these gifts worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, the Spirit of God, dividing to every man as he wills, as God wills. And in verse 28, he also said, you might have some other gifts. You might have the gifts of helps or assistance. You might have the gift of governments, leadership. But at the end of chapter 12, he says this, listen to this, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet, or the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And what is that way? Right there. An excellent way. He takes the whole 13th chapter to talk about one thing and one thing only, love. So if you don't know what your gift is, I'm going to tell you real simply. Start by loving people. Just love on them and love on them and love on them until you can't love no more, and then love some more. He says, I'll show you a more excellent way. If you don't know what your gift in God is, just start by loving people. That's easy, isn't it? Turn to page 8. H stands for heart. God has put into the hearts to accomplish His purpose. God has put into each one of our hearts a feeling, an unction from the Holy Ghost to accomplish His purpose. For it is God who works in you, inspiring both the will and the deed for His own purpose. Philippians 2 and 13. So, what are you passionate about? What is it that makes you tick? Where's your passion lies? Where do your passions lie? If you don't know what you're passionate about, here, I told you guys this last weekend. Your passions become anything that you spend your time, your money, and your thoughts, your mind share. Wherever you spend those three things in life, that becomes your values, that becomes your passion. Amen. Guess what? There's a lot of things. Look, how about this? I'll negate what I just was going to say. These become your heartbeat, okay? The next bullet point says, monitoring your heartbeat will help you clarify what you're passionate about. So if my passions are my time, my money, and my thoughts, and I don't know what I'm passionate about, here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Take some time, write down on a piece of paper, take a week, okay? 1 week. Write down where you spend your time. Write down where you spend your money, right? Have you ever had to write down what you spend or where you spend your money? It's called a budget, right? I spend X amount of dollars for food or eating out. I spend X amount of dollars on my mortgage, my car, my utilities, et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera, and so on, right? And so at the end of the day, you can see where you spend your money. I spend X amount of percent on eating out. Why? Because I'm a single guy and I don't like to cook. Becomes a passion of mine, right? Becomes a value of mine because that's where I spend my money. So, heart. Wherever you spend your time, money, and your mind share becomes your heartbeat. If you don't like what you find in your heart, change it. Change it. If you don't like what you find in your heartbeat, change it. A, abilities. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge nor wisdom in the grave where you go. That's the preacher, that's Solomon. He says, do it, you know, whatever you find to do, do it with everything in you. Whether that's preaching, whether that's cooking, whether that's carpentry, electrician, whatever. Whatever you find that you become passionate about, do it with all of your might. Because once you're in the grave, there's nothing of that there. Amen. So what natural skills and talents do you have? Do I have? Applying your abilities will help you fully appreciate the natural talents and the vocational skills you have and how they can be used in ministry. You know, I look at abilities in this church, and I thank God that we have Bill Fox in this church. His carpentry, his electrical skills. I thank God for Brett Shasky and his IT skills. I thank everybody that has a skill and applies it in this church. Amen? P is personality. It says here in 1 Corinthians 2:11, he says, no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he or she is really like except for that person himself. You know you better than anyone else, right? I know me better than you know me. I do. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? Plugging in your personality will help you see how your God-given temperament can best be used in ministry. So one of the things that I like to talk about is, if you don't know personality, okay? These guys have already mentioned it, the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the MBTI. I'm very passionate about it. Why? Because I first learned about it in 2011 and have built leadership teams around it, making sure I have the right people in place. Okay? Well, let me tell you what. Some people are visionaries while some people are integrators. What does that mean? So some people are visionaries in that they have ideas. They have great ideas, but they just don't know how to make them work. So thank goodness, you know, maybe Justin's a visionary. He comes up with the ideas, the big ideas, and hey, why don't we do this? And hey, why don't we do that? And all of a sudden, Iggy comes along, and he's an integrator, and he starts saying, yeah, that idea, and this is what it's going to take to do it, and do it this, and here's the steps in which we do it. Because why? Because Justin's personality, he's not equipped for the details. He's the visionary. But yet, I take the vision from Justin, and I give it to Iggy and say, Iggy, plan it. He does it. Why? Because that's the way his personality is, and that's the way he's wired. Amen? Some people are introverted, while some people are extroverted. If you're extroverted, guess what? Go be a greeter at the door. If you're introverted, you probably shouldn't be a greeter at the door. Right? Because when people come into the church, especially guests, we want nice extroverted people that's going to, hey, Sister Ruth, so glad to have you here today. You know, we don't want people to fake it because people can tell fakeness, right? So if you're an extroverted person, go be a door greeter. You know, greet people as they come in. But if you're introverted, you might want to find something else to do besides being a greeter. You might want to be an usher. Take their money. Because they don't have to speak, right? Just put the bag up. You know, it's that easy. And walk on. So personality. All right. Continuing on. Where are we at? P-E. All right. Experiences. Both Brother Iggy and Brother Justin have talked about this. How do my life experiences help me shape my ministry? And we know, Romans 8:28, we know this one by heart, and most of the time it's fed to us in times when we're not doing so well, right? We just went through a tragedy, a loss, you lost your job, you lost your dog, you know. Most of the time that's when we're getting fed that. But I like the context in which it is put in here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him have been called according to his purpose. Okay, it doesn't finish it, and again, I don't want to take it out of context, But we know that God is allowing us to experience certain things that strengthen us for our ministry, towards our calling. And because we go through these certain things, guess what? Because we have these experiences, good and bad, guess what? Now He's equipping us to speak to somebody else that has a similar experience. And look at the next verse in Philippians. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, to advance the good news. So every experience that you and I have, both good and bad, guess what? Can be put into play, that can be used to what? Advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now think about this experience. Brother Merchant has a technical experience. He's a bus driver. Right now, he's a bus driver, right? And I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but maybe, just maybe, he's our next church bus minister. Why? Because he has driving a bus as experience. He can use that experience. You know, and there are other things. You know, alcoholics, former alcoholics, witnessing to other alcoholics, smokers to other smokers. Women that have had miscarriages, ministering, serving, counseling to other ladies that have had miscarriages. Think about that. Experiences. Let's read what it says there. One of the most overlooked factors in determining the ministry God has for me is past experience, particularly my hurts and the problems that I've overcome with God's help. Since our greatest life lessons come out of our weaknesses, not our strengths, we should pay attention to what we have learned in the school of hard knocks. But I want to talk about there's experiences, right? I listed three experiences here. There's spiritual experiences, right? The day that I got baptized, Sister Barb, let me tell you, when I got baptized and I come up out of the water, I felt phenomenal. I felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off of me. I knew at that time, I knew without a shadow in my mind, not a single doubt, that God had removed all of my sins off of me. At that moment, I never felt so clean in my life, Sister Barb. That's an experience that you can share with somebody that hasn't been baptized. The spiritual experience of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Man, I got the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't stop talking about it. I couldn't stop smiling. I mean, I was on cloud nine, and you can't take it away from me. I know that I know that I know that I know that I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Painful experiences. I can speak to other people about death of a mother. Right? I can speak to a death of a sibling. I lost my sister to cancer. I can speak to other divorced men. Why? Because I'm divorced. I can speak to other people out of my painful experiences better than somebody that has never went through those things. Amen. Educational experiences. Now, we got educational experiences. Girls, Liza, Grace, you can speak to elementary kids way better than I can. Why? Because you're there. You do it every day. I can speak to other people that have gone through college or are going through a master's program as an adult. Why? Because it's what I'm doing now. Hey, if I can do it, you can do it, right? I can speak to that experience. Some of us can speak to the experience of the school of hard knocks. So, we all have experiences. So, kind of finish up here. We've got the last page and a half to go through. Example how Paul's ministry was shaped. So, let's look at Paul's spiritual gift. Okay? And 2 Timothy 1:11, it says, "And of this gospel I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." 2 Timothy 1:11, right? He was a prophet. Paul's heart, He had a heart for ministry. He had a heart to serve. Romans 15:20 says, "My constant ambition has been to preach the gospel where the name of Christ was previously unknown and to avoid building on another man's foundation." Paul's ability, what was Paul? Paul was a tent maker. Paul went to see them and stayed and worked with them because he earned his living by making tents, just as he did, or just as they did. He debated in the synagogues every Sabbath, trying to convince both Jews and Gentiles, Acts 18, 2 and 4, through 4. Paul's personality. "For you have heard of my past. I persecuted the church with fanatical zeal and did my best to destroy it. I was ahead of most of my contemporaries in the Jewish religion and had a boundless enthusiasm." So when he was converted on the Damascus Road, as his eyes was opened up, he was baptized, he took that same zeal, that same enthusiasm he had towards the law of Moses and the rabbinical teachings, he now applied them to the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's experiences, talking about his spiritual experiences. He watched Stephen being stoned, Acts 8 and 1. He was converted on the Damascus Road. And tell me, he preached that in the book of Acts to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, thou almost persuaded me. 3 years maturing in Arabia by himself. He learned from the Lord himself in those years. Special visions from God. He also had his experiences, his painful experiences. He said, "I have been in prison more times, near death often, been whipped 5 times with 39 lashes by the Jews and 3 times by the Romans, once stoned. I've been in 3 shipwrecks and once spent 24 hours in the water. In my travels, I've been in danger from flood, from robbers, from enemies, wild animals, and false friends." Remember, he got bit by a serpent. "I've served long hours without sleep or food or shelter or even clothing." That was 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. "To keep me from becoming conceited." In other words, becoming puffed up and thinking more highly of himself than he ought to. "Because of these great revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me." Now, I don't like the word torment because the word says to buffet. And if you know anything about a buffet, it's not what you get at Ponderosa or King's Buffet. Buffet means to beat with a fist. He got beat up. How many of us get beat up on a daily basis because of the stand that we take for Christ? Paul's educational experiences. He says, "I received my training at the feet of Gamaliel, and I was schooled in the strictest observant of our father's laws." So all of that shaped Paul. His spiritual gifts, his heart was for ministry, his ability as a tent maker, his personality, his experiences. Amen. All of you should have received another handout. This one right here. I have not fully read through it, but it's at the top it says shape. It's an assessment to assist in serving. I would encourage you to read through it, to answer the questions through there, because it is there to help assist us in finding our shape in God. Our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personalities, and our experiences.